Would please turn with me to our main scripture text, which would be Psalm 3. We read part of the context in which this psalm is situated. Psalm 3 says, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. Selah. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord. Save me, O my God. For you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask, Lord, that you would be with us now as your word is spoken. We pray that it would be your word, only your word, Lord, that would glorify your holy name in the name of Christ. We pray that you would help us in our hearing. And Lord, help us to be not just hearers, but doers of your word. So we pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. So Psalm 1 is about the importance of the law and the life of the believer. And Psalm 2 is about the victory in Christ and the blessedness of being in him by faith. But there are many battles that the Christian must face, and there are many psalms that speak to such battles. Psalm 3 is one such psalm that speaks to the circumstances that the Lord ordains in the life of the Christian, in which he or she must trust solely in the Lord. My desire this morning is to encourage the faint-hearted, to bring to mind the victory that we have in Christ. So many struggle during this time of year. Many have lost loved ones, and this time of year brings sadness and difficult memories. Many have difficult past experiences with family and situations that happened during the Christmas season. And these also bring sad thoughts and some depressed feelings. There are many battles to be fought in our Christian life, and Jesus has overcome this world for us. And he has risen victoriously for our sake. And in him, we must and we will win the battles. Here in Psalm 3, David finds himself in the battle as a new day begins. The psalm is called a morning psalm because in verse 5 it says, I lay down and slept, I awoke, and the Lord sustained me. This psalm is the first psalm with a title, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. It's also the first time the word psalm is used, as it appears in the book of Psalms. The word psalm, as many of you know, means a poem to be sung with music. This psalm is the first one also which designates David as the author and the first one to be giving a historical setting, and that is the fleeing of David from Absalom. Some question the validity of the titles in the Psalms, and this can be seen by the fact that many English translations omit the titles. However, the titles are in fact included in the canonical text of the Hebrew Bible. In any case, this psalm, like the rest, is inspired by the Holy Spirit and fits with the circumstances surrounding David's fleeing for his life in 2 Samuel 15 and 16. We read in chapter 15 how Absalom stole the hearts of the people while David was busy with the business of being the king. Absalom conspired to take away the kingdom from his father, and more of the people joined Absalom as he was able to make himself king in the nearby town of Hebron. When David was informed of this uprising, he had to quickly flee Jerusalem with his servants who were loyal to him. We see here the fulfillment of what was said by the Lord through Nathan the prophet to David when he sinned with Bathsheba and killed Uriah, her husband. The Lord said, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives in your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have also given you much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives from before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this sun. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. This was fulfilled when Absalom rose up against David, and also when Ahithophel's advice gave David the advice to Absalom the advice to go into the concubines that David had left behind to care for his house. This account in Samuel was written for our instruction, that even the consequences of sin and discipline that the Lord brings is for our good, the good of our eternal souls. Though David had to experience such discipline and trials for the sin in his life, he was still a repentant child of God. And his future victories in this life and his eternal victory in Christ was secure. He would not and could not forfeit his eternal soul. For his salvation, like ours, the title of the message, is totally and securely in the hands of the Lord. Though David had these trials, and we may, as sons and daughters of the living God, walk through many dark valleys of the shadow of death, we do not have to fear any evil, for our great shepherd is always with us. And his protection and even his discipline should be a comfort to us. For brethren, we sit with Christ in heavenly places, and even our enemies will have to sit at the table and watch us feast with our King. We also see David here as a type of Christ who experienced troubles from within his own circle and family and friends. Just as his son and his most trusted advisor, Ahithophel, conspired against him to destroy him, so Jesus' own people, one of his own close disciples whom he would wash his feet, would even betray Christ. Though such betrayal looked like it would succeed, it would only serve to bring about the great victory on the cross, where our sovereign Lord would accomplish the redemption for us, his own special people. Though Absalom and Ahithophel's betrayal also looked like it would succeed, 2 Samuel 17 tells us that the Lord had ordained that Absalom would take the wrong counsel and that the Lord would bring about his destruction and Ahithophel would hang himself. John Gill says that indeed the whole psalm may be applied to Christ. So as the second psalm set forth the dignity of Christ's person as the Son of God, and the stability and enlargement of his kingdom, notwithstanding the opposition against him, this psalm, Psalm 3, expresses his troubles from his enemies, his death and resurrection from the dead, his victory over his enemies, and the salvation he wrought for his people. Whether we share John Gill's application or not, we know for certain that God is always, brethren, always active in the life of his loved ones, his chosen people. And we see his sovereign hand in David's physical and spiritual life in the setting that we have here in this psalm and from 2 Samuel. And we also know from the New Testament that God's sovereign hand was in full control of all that transpired in Jesus' life. Even his betrayal and brutal death was according to the Father's perfect will. All these things, brethren, were ordained for the good of his people because of his love for each and every one who flees to Christ for refuge. So in light of this context, let's look at verse 1. David says, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel there's many who rise up against me. And we know what those are. It happens many times to be our own flesh, the philosophy of the world, and of course the evil one. But here David brings his problem, his trial, his trouble to the Lord. He does not go first to men, but he cries out to the Lord. He is confident, brethren, he's confident that God knows everything about his situation and he will hear him. Two things David complains about here. He says, first of all, there's an increasing number of enemies that are troubling him and coming against him. They seek his destruction. These are the men of Israel that have joined Absalom to overthrow David. This reminds us, brethren, of when Judas brought the many, remember, with him to the Garden of Gethsemane to take Jesus. And later, how all the wicked in Jerusalem cried out, crucify him, crucify him. Our enemies are also many. They hated Jesus. And Jesus tells us that they will hate us as well. So we should not be surprised, brethren, when they come against us as they have here with David. Just like they turned on Jesus, though he was humble, meek, compassionate, they will turn on us if we humbly follow Christ. David was a humble king. He was gracious in his dealings with his people, yet they turned on him also. Secondly, David tells what his enemies say of him. He says, many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. They say to him and to their own wicked hearts that David has no salvation in God. Neither will God deliver him from the wicked schemes, nor will David find eternal rest in God, for he is an evil man. We see this played out in 2 Samuel 16. A prominent man named Shimei from Bahurim curses David and says the kingdom will be taken from David and given to Absalom. He further says that David is responsible for Saul's death, and Saul's blood is on David's head because David is an evil and bloodthirsty man. But you see the reaction of David even to this trouble that comes against him. David's humility is shown in this incident as one of his men say, can I just please kill this Shimei, please, and get him out of the way for saying this to the king? But David says, no, leave him alone. The Lord ordained this to be said, and perhaps he will look on my current situation with favor. David knows that all things work together for good as a child of the king. Jesus' enemies cursed him. Even while he was hanging on the cross, they said, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. Even the soldiers who beat him and spat on him said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. Before we come to verse 3, we see the word here, Selah. While the meaning is not certain, it is said to mean a pause, perhaps a musical pause. And perhaps this is a time for David to reflect, to think about how to react to the situation, which he does in the next two verses. Perhaps for us, when troubles come against us, when we are being attacked from all sides, the world, the flesh, the devil, even our loved ones, as David was attacked, it is time to pause. It is time to reflect on who our God is. We read verse 3. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. Here's David being attacked. David is being, by his own son, by all of the faithful in Israel that turned against him. But he says here in verse 3, but you, O Lord. That word but is usually a good word in the scriptures. It's a good word to ponder when troubles come. For whatever comes our way, we can say with David, but you, O Lord. David's confidence and our confidence, brethren, is in our God, not in our feelings and not in our circumstances. He controls the circumstances. As we saw in 2 Samuel, he controlled what happened to David. He controlled what happened to Absalom. He controlled what happened to Ahithophel. And in spite of David's dire straits, he remembers his God. His God is his defense. His God is his shield. From his early days, remember, David relied on God's strength to kill the lion and the bear that threatened his sheep. Even Goliath, the great Philistine, could not cause David to fear. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? The Lord who delivered me from the lion and the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. Brethren, do we need deliverance? Our God is the great deliverer. Our Lord Jesus Christ has delivered us from all our enemies, has conquered sin and death for us. The Lord was David's shield to protect him from the arrows and the sword of the enemy. David's security in the midst of many military battles was the Lord on high, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus is a shield to all of his people. Psalm 84 says he's a sun and a shield. He's the light and truth. He is our protector. He was Abraham's shield in Genesis 15 when the Lord spoke to him and said, I am your shield and your reward will be great. Jesus is our protector, our refuge, our strength. And he, by his blood and his righteousness, is our great reward. All God's promises to us are in him, yes and amen, in Christ. Second part of verse 3, it says, the Lord in his glory is his glory and the lifter up of his head. David knew that the Lord had lifted him from mere shepherd to the king of Israel. It is the Lord that David boasts in, not in his own glory, not in his own strength, not in his own wisdom. Our heavenly Father lifted Jesus, raising him from the dead, bringing victory over sin and death. And he gave him a name that is above every name, that at that name every knee shall bow. All our enemies will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. So too has the Lord lifted us, brethren, giving us a new name, children of the living God. And we have been lifted up, raised with Christ, and we are seated with him in heavenly places, Jesus, so that in the ages to come, we will see the immeasurable riches of his grace and his kindness toward us. How amazing, brethren, is this grace toward us. How glorious is our God. In verse 4, David says, I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill, Selah. David prays, he really prays. True prayer is crying out to God in the midst of struggles. Here, David cries aloud to the Lord. Out loud, he cries aloud, Lord, hear my voice. And he heard me from his holy hill. Here, David cries, and the Lord answers him. And this is also true of Christ, is it not? In Hebrews 5, it says, he offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears to God. Brethren, this all God wants us to do is cry out and cry out to him for all the troubles and all the anxieties that come upon us, just as David did. God is a God of hearing and answering the prayers of his people. It's not in our time that he will answer those prayers, but it is his time, and his answer is always for our good. Remember, Paul cried out 3 times for healing of his thorn in the flesh, but God answered, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." When we are weak, brethren, we are strong. We cry out to the Lord, and we are made strong in him. For we, like David, are confident in our God. There's another pause here, as David will be able to rest, knowing that the Lord has heard him. Our cries to the Lord should be followed by rest, resting in his sovereign hand and sovereign will. In verse 5, David says, "I lay down and slept. I awoke, and the Lord sustained me." The Lord's answer allowed David to lie down and sleep, to rest in Christ when all looked bleak. When he awoke, it was all by God's grace that he would have another day. All our lives, brethren, are in the hands of the Lord. And when we sleep, it is the Lord who sustains us and gives us another day the next morning to glorify him. Every breath we take is in him and through him. In verse 6, David says, "I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. I will not fear," David says. Now that he has slept, he knows God. He prayed, he cried out. All his enemies are going against him, but he knows that God has heard him. That's all David wanted to know, that God heard him. And now he says, "I will not be afraid of all those who set themselves against me." He's resting in God, knowing that God has protected him in the past. That's important, brethren, to remember what God has done for us in the past. We need to remember not only that we were saved in Christ, but all that he has delivered us from that time until now. David has been protected by him in the past, and his life is totally in God's sovereign control. And he's able to look at those enemies in verses 1 and 2 and not be in any fear at all. No matter how many come against David, he is secure. In Psalm 27, David says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall, just like Ahithophel, just like Absalom. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident." Brethren, are we confident in our Lord? Not in our strength, not in our wisdom, nothing in us, but confident in our God, our protector, our shield, and our refuge. In verse 7, David says, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly." To break the to strike an enemy on the cheek was to call upon them reproach, scornful reproach. David's confidence allows him to draw near to God in confident prayer that God will deliver him as he has done always, and he cries out, "Oh, Jehovah, existing and eternal one, arise and save me, Elohim, the ruler and judge of the earth. I know you will strike my enemies on the cheek, make them a scornful reproach, and break their teeth that they use to chew and devour their prey." So too, brethren, Christ has delivered us, conquering sin and death for us, breaking the teeth of sin. Its condemnation and the sting of death has been removed. We are no longer under sin's dominion and the power of death, and we are free in the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 8, David says, "Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be upon your people. Selah." Salvation does belong to the Lord. He has the power to save, no matter the situation we find ourselves in. It is his prerogative to save us physically and spiritually. As with Paul's thorn in the flesh, God hears us, but he chooses to do for us what is best. And it may be that his grace is sufficient for you and for me. We're not in the camp of those who believe that everyone is physically saved, physically healed. We know, again, all things work for good for those who love, who are called according to his purpose. We know that our God is pleased to save, and all our temporal and eternal deliverances are from him, and all to him we owe. It is his promise, brethren, to all of us who are his, that it is by his power alone that we are saved and that we will be preserved until the day Christ returns or we are called home to be with him. All of us, brethren, who are in Christ by grace alone are assured of our salvation, for God is our God of salvation. We have nothing to fear. He is mighty to save, and he sent his Son, the mighty God, Prince of Peace, to secure everlasting peace for all to come to him by faith and all who repent of their sins. How about you? Have you repented? Children, have you repented? Older adult, have you repented of your sin and cried out to God to save you from your sins? What are you waiting for? Yesterday, we saw in the news about all the tornadoes that killed the many people across the land. None of those who died yesterday thought that yesterday would be their last day before they met their judge, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We don't know what a day will bring. I attended two funerals this week, reminding me again that life is short, and the only hope we have is our standing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Only he can save, and only he can cover us with his saving blood and give us the righteousness that we don't have, so we could be declared not guilty for our sins before God. For Christ takes away the sins of all those who truly come to him, bearing his Father's wrath, so that you, if you would repent, will not have to pay the penalty for your sins. Don't wait. Without Christ, you risk eternal torment, eternal anxiety, and eternal regret. Will you come to him this morning, humble yourself, and be saved? Are you ready to die? This is the most important question you'll ever answer in your life. Finally, David prays for blessing on God's people. We could rightly think that David is even praying for those who are pursuing him, those who seek his destruction. For in David, we see a greater King Jesus, who in his humility and shame on the cross prayed for those who hated him, who crucified him. He cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Whether David is praying for them or for those who are truly God's chosen ones matters not. For we are called to pray for all God's people, for all people, including our enemies, that they would be saved and under the protection and blessings of God. Brothers and sisters, we have been given what we do not deserve. Salvation is all and only of the Lord. We have been given all spiritual blessings in Christ, all his mercy, all his grace, all his loving kindness, all his precious promises. We have his perfect righteousness, his pardon for sin, peace with God by his blood, adoption into his family. We're co-heirs with Jesus Christ to the kingdom of God, a guaranteed inheritance of blessing and glory forever. We can't even comprehend it. David's confidence in the Lord never wavered, whether it was his repentance for his grievous sins, which we read, or when his life was in danger, even from his own son, rather than having a pity party and moving away from the Lord, he sought the Lord with crying and with tears, even as he fled for his life. Brethren, let this season, no matter the circumstances, the memories, the battles with sin, be a time of great joy. Remember what the shepherds were told by the angels? Fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all God's people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Though we are troubled in this world, brethren, Jesus has overcome the world. If we are troubled by our enemies, whether it is the world, whether it is our own flesh, whether it is the devil and all his evil ones, Jesus tells us to count ourselves blessed, for ours is the kingdom of heaven. And if we are persecuted for Christ's sake, Jesus says to rejoice and be glad, for great is our reward in heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you and cry out to you, Lord, for you know our needs, you know our circumstances, you know our feelings, you know everything about us, for you ordained all of these things according to your perfect plan and perfect will for us. We pray, Lord, that that plan would include this day, that those who don't know you, that you would open their eyes to see their desperate need of Christ. And for us, Lord, who many times go through depression and anxiety for the circumstances of our life, that we would think upon King David and the greater King, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has been victorious for us. And Lord, help us to just look to Christ this Advent, Lord, we pray. Give us grace that we need, for we are weak vessels. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.